From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of September 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Nathan Klucheski will join us as well. He's from GrowMark and a plant pathologist and entomology specialist, to talk about fungicide applications on corn and how to think about them as you're running the combine through the field. And we'll also take a look at the weather forecast today, that with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, and I'll ask you to make a pledge of financial support. I kind of like the $120 level, but whatever level works for me, at 217-244-9455. It is our fall pledge drive, and we're going to kick it off on this Tuesday by asking you to make a pledge of support and telling us your favorite pet's name, too. We'll maybe talk about that on the air again. We appreciate that. 217-244-9455 to make that pledge of support, or go online to willgive.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day finished at $5.17. That was down 4¾. The March at $5.25, 4¾ lower. And May contract at $5.30, down 4½ cents. The November beans at $12.74, up 11½. January at $12.82¾, 11 higher. Bean meal $1.80 higher. The bean oil up 41 cents. And soft red winter wheat down 10½ for the day at $6.90¼. The hard red December at $6.90½, down 9½ cents. Live cattle futures were down 27½. The feeders were up 32½, and lean hogs for the day 62½ cents lower. They finished at $73.60. Wayne Nelson now joins us to take a look at Turnaround Tuesday for the soybeans. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Great afternoon here. We're getting a little rain here over in Indiana. Not quite as heavy as maybe was predicted, but nice little shower. We had a lot of dry conditions and a couple combines burn up in our area over the weekend, so the rain was well welcomed.
And we have rain here as well. So indeed, welcome, because it's been awfully, awfully dry. When I talked with Kurt Kimmel yesterday, he mentioned a potential head and shoulders bottom in the soybeans and was worried about a breakthrough below 1260. I did ask him about the overnight trade and it running through things and maybe not meaning quite as much. As it turned out, it went to 1257.5 last night. However, we're up 11 cents and above 1270 at the end of the day. Quite the turnaround for soybeans.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice little turnaround. Mid-morning, we got some announcements that told us that looked like China was in for 3 to 5 cargoes for November shipment. And, you know, they're still on holiday till tonight, basically. So we're looking for the Chinese crushers maybe using some of this weakness to buy some more, because their crush is actually figures positive now, where it's been negative for quite a while. So we're thinking that they might come back and do a little more business, and that was positive. The trouble was over in the corn, though, Todd. We didn't have any Chinese business, no announcements, and it's been an awful long time since we've had any Chinese corn sales.
Did that mean it was buy soybean, sell corn day?
I think a little bit of that happened. The corn basis was in somewhat sharp declines this morning at the processors and ethanol plants. The Blair, Nebraska plant, ethanol plant, dropped their basis 55 cents this morning. So that sure didn't help anything, you know, along the way. So, you know, as we've seen the ethanol plants not be quite as aggressive here right now, you know, harvest is getting flying along pretty good. I know Illinois is a little ahead of Indiana as far as corn harvest. We've got a lot of beans done, but we're actually hearing some fairly good yields over here in Indiana on some. And on northern Illinois, I heard about, you know, the crop being down real bad, but they were still above 240 on their yields, even having to slow down and unplug the combine once in a while from the down corn up around Mendota.
I suppose the break in basis has to do with just the new crop coming on, and maybe more importantly, such a short crop or short supply out of the old crop and the transition to having supply available.
Yeah, I mean, the first, you know, just a week and a half ago, we were talking 50 to 70 over at some of these plants, the corn plants and ethanol plants down in our area. And now we're back to regular harvest type basis levels.
What are you expecting for the rest of the week?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to look here. We're going to hope when China comes back from their vacation, or their holiday, not vacation, holiday, that we might see a little bit of buying come in, especially in the bean pit, to continue to raise these back up and try to push those November beans back above $13. I don't know that we can get that done this week, but we'd sure love to see it. We're hoping for a little bit of corn business to happen, too, coming up some soon. But they seem to be holding back awful hard and not wanting to buy corn from the U.S. for at least a little while. But harvest is progressing, and it is September, and that's generally not an up month. So, you know, if we can just hold our own and put a little green on the screen, we'll be happy.
Can you detail the bean harvest just a bit more for me, please?
You know, we've been going into beans, and but the rain yesterday and today and possibly a little bit tomorrow's, you know, kept us out of the bean field for right now. But one clear day and a little drying, and I think we'll be back in the beans. We're seeing beans all over the board. I mean, our immediate areas, I told you, all year long, been very good. You know, we're looking at a lot of upper 60s, lower 70 beans around here, right close as we get farther away in some of the ground northeast of here and like that. We're seeing a lot of the 50 to 59s, and then the other areas a little farther out are somewhere in the 60 plus or minus five bushel either way on those. So, you know, not too bad a bean yield. It's been quite a few beans being harvested and not much corn yet.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hey, do dial this number right now, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL to pledge your financial support of agriculture here on Illinois Public Media. When they ask, make sure you tell them it's in support of ag, or if you're online at willgive.org, WILLGIVE.ORG. You can just put that in the comments section. And thank you so much. It is pet day here. If you mention your pet, we'll try to mention your pet's name on the air. So make sure you do that as well. Whatever you can give is fantastic. Thank you, by the way, so much for doing that. Now let's take a look at the weekly crop progress report from the United States Department of Agriculture. It shows this week 93% of the corn crop has dented. The five-year average is 89%. 57% of the crop is mature. The five-year average there is 47%. And 10% of the crop has now been harvested. 9% is the rolling five-year average. The condition of the crop, 45% good and 14% excellent, compares to last week at 44 and 14. 58% of the soybeans are dropping their leaves around the nation, and 6% of that crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average also 6%, and it's said to be in 47% good and 11% excellent condition. 45% and 12% were those numbers last week. And finally, 21% of the winter wheat crop has been sown. 18% is the rolling five-year average. 3% of that crop is up and growing. Here are the state statisticians with their updates across the Midwest.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Another warm, mostly dry week across the state allowed Iowa's farmers 6.1 days suitable for field work. Field activities included harvesting hay, finishing corn silage, and starting on earlage. Subsoil moisture levels rated 15% very short, 37% short, 48% adequate, and 0% surplus. The warm, windy weather helped crops dry down and push toward maturity. Corn in or beyond the dent stage reached 93%, 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Half of Iowa's corn crop has reached maturity, 2 days ahead of normal. Iowa's corn condition rated 58% good to excellent. Producers have started corn harvest in many parts of the state. Soybeans coloring or beyond reached 86%, 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 53%, 3 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition was rated 61% good to excellent. Soybean harvest began in parts of Iowa during the week. The third cutting of alfalfa hay reached 97% complete. Some farmers were working on the fourth and in some areas the fifth cutting of hay. Pasture condition was rated 29% good to excellent. In general, livestock were doing well. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is the Illinois Crop Progress and Conditions Report for the week ending Sunday, September 19th. Last week, temperatures averaged 73.2 degrees across the state, 7 degrees above normal. The southwest part of the state saw the most rainfall, but overall the entire state averaged just 0.18 inches, 0.71 inches below normal. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 8% very short, 26% short, and 66% adequate. Corn mature reached 72% compared to 51% last week and last year. Corn harvest was starting to get rolling with 11% of the crop said to be harvested compared to the 5-year average of 8%. Corn condition rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 22% fair, 53% good, and 21% excellent. Soybeans turning color reached 79% compared to 63% last week and 70% last year. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 54% compared to 33% last week and 40% last year. Soybean harvest looks to be getting started with 1% of the crop reported as harvested compared to the 5-year average of 3%. Pasture conditions were rated 2% very poor, 11% poor, 34% fair, 41% good, and 12% excellent. This has been Steve Parn with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reporting for the Illinois Field Office in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians in Iowa and Illinois for their updates this week. The folks in Minnesota, of course, produced a paper copy, but were unable to present us with an audio version. I'd like to take you through some of those numbers. This week, they say that their subsoil moisture levels in Minnesota were rated 19% very short and 37% short. Corn dented in that state has reached 94%, and that's 7 days behind last year, but 7 days ahead of the average. Corn mature reached 59% in Minnesota, 1 day behind last year, 8 days ahead of the average. And corn harvested for grain, 6%, 8 days ahead of last year, 12 days ahead of the average. Corn harvested for silage now at 85%. The corn condition rated 38%, good to excellent. 96% of the soybeans in the state of Minnesota are coloring, 1 day ahead of last year and over a week ahead of the 5-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves have reached 74%, 2 days ahead of last year, 7 days ahead of average. And soybeans harvested in Minnesota have reached 11%. The condition of the crop rated 35%, good to excellent. And that's a look at the weekly crop progress reports from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us on a Tuesday to discuss the weather forecast. Thanks, Don, for being with us. A little rainy here today, though I'm told it'll probably clear up. What do you see?
Yeah, we have a fast-moving cool front that is triggering some areas of rain and thunderstorm activity across the Midwest. And, you know, it's a pattern that behind it going to feel a little fallish. Temperature readings are going to be down noticeably, and there'll be a little bit of fall in the air, especially the next couple of mornings. But after this moisture clears on out with this front, we're going to have a northwest wind aloft developing. And what that's going to do is generally bring in a fairly dry air mass out of central Canada as we go through the second half of this week, this weekend, and into early next week. So it's going to be a fairly quiet pattern once this initial front goes through.
So fluffy white clouds, sunshine, 70 degrees across the bulk of the Corn Belt?
Yeah, you know, pretty comfortable temperatures. There's definitely, with the wind direction aloft coming in out of west central Canada, we're cut off from the desert heat that has been so prevalent for the last half of the summer season. So those temperatures are going to be cooler and making for some very pleasant harvest conditions.
Anything in the week after that that changes very much?
Well, as we get to the beginning of October or right at the end of September, we do see a low that'll be coming out of the desert southwest that will be kicking in. And that probably, you know, right around, I would say, the 29th, 30th, 1st, the first couple of days of October, the last days of September will be the next period of cooler, wet conditions moving on in. So there is something coming after about 5 or 6 days of good harvest weather.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week.
See you then.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We're now joined by Nathan Klucheski. He's a plant disease and entomology specialist with Growmark. Thank you, Nathan, for being with us. You and I have talked many times in the past, and certainly over the summertime, as farmers and others were making decisions as it relates to fungicide on corn. I'm wondering, when they go into the field this fall, they're going to see on corn that they did not spray, probably, even if that corn was resistant, a great deal of disease. Does that mean that they've actually lost bushels, in your opinion?
Not necessarily. It depends on what disease, or diseases, I should say, because oftentimes it's more than one that you're going to see, what diseases are present and when they actually showed up in the field. So something that showed up earlier in the season, obviously that's going to be more or less consuming more carbohydrates. You can think of it as that, reducing the amount of carbohydrates that are available for that grain fill for a longer duration of time and potentially nipping your yield more than something that comes in later in the season. So a lot of these diseases that picked up later on in the season, say after we start R5 or so, the amount of potential yield loss is greatly reduced. So the later in the season they come on, the less reduction of yield we see.
Then I'm correct. R5 is 32 to 45 days, or 35 to 42 days after silking has taken place.
Right. Somewhere around there. Again, it kind of depends on temperatures and that. But yeah, that's a pretty good ballpark range.
Yeah. So you and I had some discussions about my own Logan County field, knowing full well that on August the 4th, actually the 5th, that field looked really good. It got a 4 or 5 inch rain on it. Mm-hmm. And it is really riddled. You saw the pictures of it with disease at this point. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me probably not much of an impact on that field as it relates to yield.
Right. If it's coming in later, you're going to see less issues. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll see is, you know, these plants will retain greenness. And some of these hybrids actually, you know, they have these stay green characteristics. So they'll stay greener longer. And as long as those tissues are green, a lot of these diseases will continue to to build and infect those tissues. But at that point, you know, once we've reached black layer, our yield is made. So, you know, those tissues are just there waiting to dry down.
Admittedly, I wanted them to fly on a half a round of fungicide, so I had to check. But, you know, that's really impossible when you ask them to only fly on half a round. However, there is another field not very far from it, planted same day, same, and has the same two hybrids in it. So we'll get a good idea. Yeah. And I took some yield checks, both in at that time, and of course I pulled ears. It appears to me, Nathan, that the other ancillary problem here is that there are fungal diseases on the ears too. Are they related to the fungicides? Could the fungicides have stopped that from happening?
Well, that's a good question. You know, those ear diseases really are difficult to suppress with fungicides. We know that if we get on around that silking time, in some instances, you know, we get on with a fungicide at silking. Sometimes we've seen some fairly decent suppression of things like gibberella in the ears. But that, you know, it's hard to get the product in there and get good coverage. The other thing that we're dealing with in corn sometimes is the hybrid itself, the orientation of those ears, whether or not the ends of those ears are exposed, because if they're, you know, oriented somewhat upwards and that they're kind of the tips of the ear exposed and it rains, you're basically pushing and driving inoculum into that ear. And the other thing that we have to think about too is potential insect damage, whether or not that's contributed at all. So there's all sorts of different factors. In general, you know, ear diseases are kind of difficult to manage because of all the different factors that come in, even more so than a typical foliar disease.
And then one final question, and I know producers are thinking about this because they, like me, have been out in the field, probably because they've been harvesting, but they've made note that when they walk through standing corn that the stalks might just drop over fairly easily.
Yep.
Do you think that's going to be a problem, and what caused it?
Well, there's a few things that we know are kind of responsible for that this year. One thing that I think we're kind of forgetting about in some areas, especially in Illinois, in central Illinois, Even we get down in through Douglas County, we saw a lot of this. Those early season rains really, really pushed a lot of that nitrogen, you know, out, leached a lot of that out. And as our crop is growing, we see a lot of this nitrogen flaring, and then we want to fill our ears up, and we don't have enough nitrogen to make it through. And we end up, you know, the plant ends up, you know, sacrificing tissues to get those nutrients, as well as, you know, the impact that flaring has on reduced carbohydrate budgets of the plant. So it's not able to photosynthesize as much. There's not as much leaf tissue. And so, you know, it starts to sacrifice. And so what you end up with are weaker stalks. And so we've seen that as a large contributor, probably a very overlooked contributor this year to stalk strength. And then you also have, like you were mentioning before, foliar diseases can definitely lead to standability issues if they are significant during that grain fill period. Again, you're going to have that plant is going to be cannibalizing the roots and the stalks, and the more cannibalization that occurs, the weaker those stalks are going to be. So we do know, and we've seen this year, you know, fungicides in some cases where we had some really severe diseases really helped with standability. When a foliar fungus is impacting that crop. I wouldn't expect much of a standability difference if it was simply just nitrogen or some other limiting resource, for example. So that's kind of, you know, the different factors that are going to be involved with that. But the key is now we've got some good weather coming through. People are getting out and getting that corn cut. And that's the important thing, getting it out of there when you can. And I hope this weather holds up and stays pretty nice here in the near future.
Anything else before I let you go?
No, you know, that's about it. I hope everyone's able to get everything out in a timely fashion. And, you know, everything I've seen this year, we got some pretty good yields out there. So let's hope we can get that all in the bin soon.
It is fun to talk about issues that we have when we still have good yields. Thank you so much,
right,
Nathan. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That's Nathan Klicheski. He is with GrowMark. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willgive.org. That's willgive.org, and make your pledge of financial support to the radio station that brings you agricultural programming every business day of the year. Or if you prefer, you can just dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. However you do it, thank you for making that pledge of support. I do appreciate it. So does the station. And it helps out over the long run. We try to bring you the best we possibly can in news and information, ag and market weather, right here from Illinois Public Media.